The Voice Actors Journal with Simon and Jeff, brought to you by Summertime. Cause, you know, like, dude, it's here. It's gonna be very hot, dude. Dude. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Voice Actors Journal with Simon and Jeff. I am, of course, Simon, and joining me is my co-host, Jeff.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
What is up, Jeff?
Not a heck of a lot, my friend, not a heck of a lot, but boy, it's been quite a week already, and I'm excited to talk about this week's episode of Equipment.
Yes, equipment. What kind of equipment we're talking about?
And there's, God knows, there's a lot of different equipment out there, and I'm going to have Simon be taking the lead in all this good stuff. But
yes,
before we do all that, we need to get out our disclaimer.
Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, that'd be fabulous. You got a disclaimer. Yay.
Nothing I enjoy more in life than disclaimers. All right. So, first and foremost, our email address that you can reach us at is thevoiceactorsjournal@gmail.com. Please feel free to leave any sort of topic suggestions, feedback, positive and negative type stuff, and anything else you could do with email addresses except spam. We would appreciate you not spam us. Let's see. So that's always appreciated.
Jeff, spam Jeff.
Fine. Spam me. See if I care. Really?
He would care.
Oh, I totally would care. Yes, I would. Having been an internet tech for many, many years, I care about spam an awful lot, probably more than I should admit to. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, as for our disclaimer, we are not coaches in the world of voice acting. We are describing our experience as we are still students in the realm of voice acting. Therefore, your mileage may and frankly will vary. And that, last but not least, we are nearly somewhat sort of undiscovered badasses. We're getting
woo-hoo!
There. Really, really hard, but we're going to get there. Someday somebody's going to discover our badasses, and hopefully it won't be very obscene. That's the thing I worry about. Somebody goes, oh, what a badass. And I don't know. Well, we'll see how all that goes.
Well, when that day comes, I'm going to disassociate myself from you.
God, you know, you are so willing to drop me like a bad habit. Just bam, be done with it. I'm like, dude, show a little loyalty there for just a moment. We're friends here, man. Come on.
All right. I'll show you some loyalty.
Thanks, Dad. Thanks.
Just like how we're, you know, very undiscovered badasses, you're going to get like very, very little loyalty. Like little bits and pieces.
So if I was a badass, I would have a lot of loyalty. Is that what you're trying to tell me? Or am I not quite getting the signal right here?
I don't know.
You don't know. That's a big help. Thank you so much.
No, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you have to figure it out.
I have to figure it out. Good. Like, life isn't complicated enough. You're not going to help me with that.
Suck it up.
Great. Fine. All right. Let's get on towards equipment and whatnot. Now, equipment, there is a vast, vast, vast array of equipment. And yes, when you're starting out.
And specifically, we're talking about audio equipment for voice actors.
Right, right. Basically, the microphone, which is basically your bread and butter, if you will, the tool that you need above and beyond anything else to get started in this whole
thing. It's your hammer,
right. Exactly. Actually, that's actually not probably about as apt a description as you can get with that. Now, for myself, when I started, as I've mentioned in previous podcasts, I actually started using my gaming headset, which I will tell you flat out is not the way to go.
No, you want to record quality
audio.
Definitely not the way you should go, everybody.
No. It compresses stuff. It sounds tinny. It's horrible. Definitely don't want to go that route.
If you're listening, listen to Jeff's mistake.
Yes.
The mistake he made.
Yes.
Beginning. You want to avoid it.
See, this is, it's supportive friends like Simon that make this whole podcast thing so worth it. Smart ass. Anyway.
Hey, I mean, you started off with a gaming headset. You
admitted it. Right? I fess up to it. I admit that. And that's absolutely right. And that's just part of the rumors we're trying to, I guess, dispel about voice acting, that it's not just something you could just start and get into and whatnot. You need to, you know, take acting classes. You need to have an understanding of how voices work and how to use them to express, to narrate or whatever. And equipment is just one cog or one facet of the whole thing. And so, obviously, I had to figure out what kind of a microphone I wanted to use or needed to use to get into this sort of work. A lot of internet searching turned up the Blue Yeti and the Blue Yeti Pro, and I went with the Pro model. As I figured that if I'm going to get into this as deeply as I do, at some point I'm going to start using XLR equipment with it. Because right now I use a USB, I connect it to my computer, and it comes out great. It comes out really good. Now, price is always a factor in all this, and that's why you want to start off with something not super expensive, but you're going to have to put a little bit of money into this in order to really kind of get started to show that you have quality equipment to get recorded to send off and have the usables work. And that's a big one. So the Blue Yeti Pro that I use went for about $250, I think, at the time that I bought it. This was a couple of years ago, so they may have come down in price by now. I assume I've not looked. But it works real great. I have no qualms with it. It plugs into my computer very well, and it records very quality audio. And, you know, and like I said, there's way better equipment that is out there for sure. You could be spending upwards around, you know, $500, $600, $700, up to $1,000 more if you want to even go that far. And I'll have Simon talk about that in just a brief second here. But, you know, if you're really going to get into this, make sure you've got enough money coming in before you get into the really good stuff. And that's really where the tricky part is. And that also goes into, like, padding your walls with soundproofing or making your own sound booth. And that's a whole other thing here, but right now we're just going to talk about the actual audio equipment itself. So that's what I use, and it's worked very well for me for the past couple of years I've done this. So I certainly encourage anybody really to go with a Blue Yeti Pro and whatnot. And sometimes you'll even see casting calls say, "Hey, we insist on using quality equipment, Blue Yeti or better." Sometimes you'll actually hear it spelled out that way. So at least that I have found in terms of reviews, in terms of like other tech journals saying, yeah, this is a good starting equipment, a good starting microphone to use. And other people see the value in it as well. So that's pretty much what I've got regarding equipment is simply just that part of it. So Simon, I'll turn it over to you. Fire away with what you know about equipment and whatnot. Tell us all about it.
Well, I do recommend the Blue Yeti as a starter mic.
Right.
The Blue Yeti Pro that you have is $250. At moment on Amazon.
Okay. So it hasn't changed much. Okay. It's good.
I have just a regular Blue Yeti USB microphone. That's my starter mic. It's just USB. And that costs about like $100 to $129, depending on you want refurbished or the black color edition.
Right. Exactly. You can get them in different colors. That is true.
Yeah. But for me, when I first started off, I didn't use a gaming headset.
Okay, now you make me feel bad.
I'm not poking fun at you. I'm just stating the obvious.
Yeah, right. No, that's fine. That's fine.
I'm just trying to tell my story, man. I mean, I really did not use a gaming headset.
Yep.
Because I know better.
Fine.
I know better. But I purchased the Blue Yeti microphone as a starter mic to practice. Because I knew at the time I needed to train.
Yes.
But I didn't want to train with a headset because I know back then I watched a lot of like YouTube clips. That was the time when YouTube was really started to boom. And you know, you see voice actors with their microphones and none of them have headsets. They have headphones, but they don't have headsets. So I was just like, okay, let me try to mimic what they're doing, you know, to a point where I could afford it, you know?
Right.
I bought a Blue Yeti USB microphone as a practice starter microphone. And I bought a kind of like a little mic stand. And I was using like a Sony headphones, not earbuds or anything, headphones. And just used it as a practice mic. So I trained with it. When I have remote sessions with like my coaches, I would train with that microphone. When I do my own practice sessions, like I would record myself, I would use the mic. I'm actually using the mic right now to do podcasts.
Right on.
So I would use the Blue Yeti USB microphone. Now, once I had my demo, I was recording at a studio. So we're using their mic.
Right, which obviously is going to be considerably better than anything you and I are
definitely
using together, that's for sure.
Definitely. So I was like, okay, I need to up my game a bit. No. Obviously, I can't afford, you know, the Neumann, which is like the standard microphone, and pretty much the industry standard microphone. I could not afford that because that's like over, let's say it's over a grand.
Yeah, I'll go with that. I have no idea, but that probably sounds about right.
No, it's definitely over a grand. So like, okay, you know, I don't have $1,000 to cover for a mic, but I want to spend something that's more expensive than a Blue Yeti Microphone Pro. As much as I like the Blue Yeti Microphone Pro, I don't really, it's a pro mic, but I don't think it's like a high-end pro mic. It's still pretty low mid-range pro mic.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
it gets the job done when you need it to, and it does.
Yeah, it gets the job done. Like, let's say you have an audition.
Yeah.
You need a recording sent out. It gets that done, or you have a podcast. So I needed to step up a bit, and so I went with an AKG C214.
Say that five times fast.
An AKG C214. AKG C214. Now the
not
price.
Bad. I'm impressed.
The price has dropped a little bit from the last time I bought it. I don't remember how much I paid for it, but right now, on Amazon, wow, it's actually the normal price of it will be $469.
Wow.
Okay, but right now on Amazon, it's $374.99.
Okay, so a little less, sounds like a little less demand for it, so they're trying to get rid of them or just try to push them a little bit. Okay.
Yeah, or there might be, you know, these are probably like remaining inventory, because I'm pretty sure.
Sounds about right, yeah.
Pretty sure AKG have already released subsequent models that are a lot better than this one.
Oh, to be sure.
But I have this mic because it's recommended by another voice actor. He has a website. The voice actor's name is Crispin Freeman. Crispin Freeman, if you guys are anime fans and you might have know the name, he has a website and he has kind of like a toolbox page that lists all the stuff that he recommends for voice actors.
Ah.
So definitely check out that link. And that was one of the mic that he recommended. And I bought it. And it's XLR, not USB, which is what the way, when you're doing pro recording, that's the way you go.
Right.
XLR.
And that's one thing about Blue Yeti Pro. It actually allows you to go both ways, if you will. You can use XLR or USB, which is part of why I bought it, too.
Exactly. So you could buy, you know, when you buy the AKG or any other XLR mic, you're going to need a mixer, like a little USB mixer,
mm-hmm.
which I have. And most of them, depending on how much ports do you want, no, they could range from $80 to hundreds of dollars. So I mean, it really depends. And what you want to do is plug in that XLR, the microphone, from the microphone's XLR to the mixer's XLR. Then you plug the mixer to your computer through USB. And that's where you're able to record your audio using either Adobe Audition, Pro Tools, if you guys are using Pro Tools. If you're starting off and don't really have money for software, like you're doing training and stuff, go check out Audacity. You download that for free.
Yeah, I hear a lot about Audacity. That seems to be like sort of like the go-to standard. I don't want to say standard, but I mean, this seems like the go-to software to utilize.
It's a good backup software to have.
Oh, yeah.
To do audio editing. But usually the standard will be Pro Tools or Adobe Audition. You know, I use Adobe Audition in conjunction with Audacity. I haven't used Pro Tools yet because it's a fairly expensive software to use.
Mm.
It's pretty expensive. Another one software that people might use is Twisted Wave. Twisted Wave is I know a lot of voice actors that use Twisted Wave.
I've never heard of it. I mean, for some reason, it sounds familiar, but I don't think I've heard of it. But it sounded peculiar.
Yeah. So definitely try out Twisted Wave as well. I can't even say that word.
say five times fast.
Yeah, I can say AKG C214, but I can't say Twisted Wave for some
kind. Twisted Wave, okay.
Yeah, so. Twisted Wave is an audio editor. It is a Mac only, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
But it also has an iPhone, iPad, so it's for if you're traveling. Yeah, and you need to do some voiceover recording, you could definitely edit on your iPhone or iPad.
Yeah, but I can't imagine that being very quality sound, though, which is probably why I wouldn't do it that way personally.
You don't know. It depends what mic you have. when you're your travel mic. Just,
well, I guess if you're traveling with a mic, I guess that could work, but you'd also have to figure out how to, you know, dampen the room you're in and all that, so you, you know, cut out all the
extra. Oh, trust me. Have you, if you follow a lot of voice actors that on Twitter, and they go to these conferences and they said to do voice recording, they'll build a, like a pillow fort.
Yeah, like pretty much. So, or they'll hide the closet and put all sorts of stuff in there. Yeah, there's a lot, that's true. There's a lot of ways to muffle it, bring large blankets, use the covers on the bed and you know, cover yourself.
Because at the end of the day, you got to do what you got to do.
True.
Yeah. True. So that, those are two good softwares. Headphones wise, I will recommend, what is that brand? It's, you probably want over the ears headphones.
And so yeah, no, you definitely want over the ear ones. You don't want earbuds or anything. You definitely want to use over the ear ones for sure.
The one I have is Harlan Hogan.
Ah.
Yeah. That's a pretty pricey headphone. Just letting you know. But
it's good to know.
Yeah, but
I've got a pair of Yamahas myself, and you know, that's part of the gaming set. It actually works very well for my purposes. When I'm doing it, but you know, I guess if you really want to make sure you're picking up everything, yeah, you definitely want probably something more quality than anything I'm certainly using here. But I have found that even when I'm recording, even when I'm sitting there editing my software, it does pick up stuff. So it's not like the range is going to get lost, if, you know, somewhere, and somebody's going to hear something that, you know, that they're not, that I wouldn't hear, but. I found just when I'm just doing basic editing that it actually works well enough that I will pick up little things so I can edit that stuff out or, you know, clean it up or whatever it is I need to do. And it works well enough. But there are times that if you are going to go full pro with this sort of thing and you've got the money to do it, once you've gotten into this and gotten the training and all that. So let's be clear that we're talking anywhere between 3 to 5 years down the road and you've got money coming in from the work you're doing. Then yeah, you could probably invest in a better set of headphones, a better microphone, pad, a room somewhere so that it absorbs some of the sound. However, you're going to pull that off.
I'm going to talk about that right now.
Well, all right, well, fire away then, my friend.
Now, everyone probably thinks that, you know, it's really, if you're starting off in voice acting, that you're going to need a dedicated sound booth. That is the ideal way to do it. That is definitely an ideal way, and if you can afford it, go for it. Build one yourself or even have a company make one for you. Ship it for you. No, if you have the money.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. That's like if that's like money you could just throw at without consequences. You know, you don't have to worry about it. So if you have money like that, go for it.
I definitely wouldn't go this route. But the idea is, and I know we've talked about in previous episodes, that when you are a voice actor, you are self-employed. You need to watch your expenses, make wise investments with your time and money.
Especially
when you're starting out, which is why I went with just the Blue Yeti and kind of went from there. It's a good starter mic. It's worked very well for my purposes. I got some decent software to go with it that I've used for years. And I've done pretty well with it. The sound booth is sort of like kind of like the light at the end of the road where you are able to, you know, put yourself in a small box. It's all padded and so forth. You know, you want to talk to yourself. You want to have conversations with yourself in a padded room. By all means, do so. There's two ways to do it.
I mean, it's very
buy them or build one. So
yeah, you can definitely build one. There's a bunch of, you know, tutorials on how to build one. I mean, it's definitely, you know, I would say, but you know, it could cost money.
Well,
cost money. So, I mean, if you're well established in the voiceover industry, you want to up your game, your studio game a bit, definitely go with the sound booth. But for most of us that are starting off, including myself and even Jeff, we record in the closet.
Yep.
And we buy some like soundproof acoustic foams.
Right.
Like there's a bunch on Amazon. I think the one that everyone really recommends, Auralex foam.
I couldn't tell you. I know people. I think
Auralex, or I can't pronounce it. It's Auralex foam. It's acoustic studio foam. It's like absorption foam, and they get pretty good high ratings on that. But you know, you have to buy a lot, and they're pretty expensive because you know, they're pretty good. They're pretty expensive. But you know, that's not one. That's just one route. You could put a bunch of foams in that closet space that you have. But you could also build a. You know, you can even use sound absorption blankets.
You could use that.
Yeah.
That's one way of doing it.
That's one way of doing it. Yeah, I mean, like, I've seen like creative ways people do, like they will go to Home Depot, buy PVC pipes, and put the sound absorption blanket over it.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, like, wow, it's pretty creative. I mean, even using blankets. A lot of blankets to do.
Yep, use a lot. You can use a lot of blankets. Basically, anything that is soft, which will obviously absorb sound, is basically what you're looking for. And we can get to a lot of more technical terms about sound ceilings and you know echoes and all that other good stuff that goes with it too. But the point is that you want things that are going to absorb sound. Clothing, blankets, obviously audio foam or the sound panels that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
If you want sort of a kind of a cheap way to consider a way to do it, if you don't have enough room in your closet to be able to go in and record your stuff in there, one thing you can use is something called a sound absorber panel. You can almost build one of these yourself. It's not a lot of money to do it, but basically it's a two or three panel box you line with foam on the inside. And you make sure it's tall enough that your microphone is inside it while you're talking, and therefore you kind of
create. I actually have one.
Is that right? Okay, yeah, I have a panel myself. My wife was kind enough to buy me one. Yeah. The particular brand I'm using is a Lyx Pro, L-Y-X Pro. It's the VRI-10 model. It's
Can you say that again?
It's a VRI-10-10 model by L-Y-X Pro. That's just what it's called, and it fits on my desk pretty nicely. I could put my mic inside. I could sort of.
Oh, okay. You got the kind of reflector kind of.
Stuff. Right, exactly. And I could close the panel, the side panels onto it, sort of becomes encapsulated, so I could talk through a crack in it, if you will. Yeah. So that.
I actually have a porta booth like.
Oh, okay. Thing. There you go.
Yeah. So what I did was I went to IKEA and bought one of those kind of little containers, like really. It's like IKEA containers.
Okay.
It's like little lids. They're like foldable.
Okay. Okay.
And you know, they're mainly meant for like storage. But what I did was, since it's foldable, I could just put in some of the acoustic sound foams in it.
Oh, there you go. Okay. I see what you're doing there.
And then have a way to like put your mic in. You could probably like slice a hole underneath it and just put a mic in it. And then you have your copy there. So it's like a porta booth, basically.
Nice. I like that.
I mean, Harlan Hogan does sell a porta booth that basically does the same thing. I mean, this is half the cost. I mean, that thing, my hack that I found on the internet, I think it only cost me like $5 or $10 at most.
Nice.
Yeah, five or 10 bucks. So, I mean, yeah, so I mean, it's pretty cheap to do it on your own too. So I say everyone just go online, look for like how to set up a home recording studio, YouTube it, and there are going to be so many videos. You're going to be crazy.
It's what I love about YouTube. There's so many things to choose from, and just about everything you could possibly think to do.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the most interesting one was like someone used PVC pipes to kind of build like their own sound studios, and just buy the sound absorption blankets.
Nice.
I'm like, good. And also, if you have hardwood floors, buy some carpets.
Yeah.
Like some carpeted mats and put them on, because those cause a lot of echo.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Basically, any hard surface is what's going to cause sound to bounce. So you need a cloth or something loose to kind of basically absorb it or bounce it, you know, in a different direction. That's not going to go back to your mic.
Yeah.
Or echo for that matter.
Yeah. And, you know, when you're recording, I mean, these are not like 100% foolproof. There's always going to be external sounds such as your neighbors mowing the lawn.
The gardeners, the dogs,
traffic. If you live on a busy street,
traffic, the trains that go by,
helicopters.
Even your phone vibrating can actually get picked up too. That I mean, it's just dumb things like that. Or if my home phone will go off, I have it sitting on my desk. I'm just like waiting for a phone call to come in from some telemarketer that wants to sell me crap. But you know, I'm always waiting for that while I'm doing these podcasts. I'm like, yeah, just go ahead and call.
Yeah, I mean,
we had that happen one time, didn't we? We had that happen one time.
Yeah, we did. You had your phone, your home phone.
Yeah, it just went off, and I'm like, dang it! We got to record that part again. Ah, my God.
I don't have a landline anymore, that's why.
I wish we didn't have one, honestly. I very much want to get rid of it, but we still have reasons of why we still have it, so we're hanging on to it for the time being. But some decade is going to go away. I'm sure of that. We'll see how that goes.
We'll see about that. But, you know, those are kind of external sounds that you can't really control.
Right.
So, exactly. I mean, it's more of, you know, got to deal with it at certain times. Hopefully not all the time. If it's all the time, geez. Good luck. Cause it's
a pain. Exactly. If you're recording from home, like both Simon and I do, then you want to get an idea as to what the schedule of noises are that go on in your neighborhood. So, you know, like the best time to record, as an example, like this very morning, the gardener visits our house first. So from 7 till about 9, he's here, you know, lawnmowers are going off, he's bugging the neighbors, dogs are barking, all sorts of hell is breaking loose out there. And I'm like, so I can't record in the morning for that. But like in the previous morning on Mondays, the gardener will mow some other houses nearby at around 11 o'clock or so. So I have to get all my recording done before 11 o'clock or so. So if you get an understanding of what the schedules are in your neighborhood, you get a feel for when it's quiet, when it's noisy, when you can do stuff. You know, then at least you've got something you can work with.
Yeah. Best bet is the middle of the night.
Well, when you live by yourself, that works out pretty good. When you got a family, it doesn't work as well. See, there are two sides to that. You know, my family will be watching TV or doing whatever. And, you know, so it's hard for me to record if I'm going to record anything because the TV is right next to my bedroom where I record. So I can't.
Just be like Grandpa Simpson. Quiet down.
Yeah, he's like, all right, dead. I can't even hear you as it is, but God, I need it quiet in here. You know, yeah, that's true. I could go that route. That is entirely true. Yeah. But fortunately for you, you don't have to worry about somebody else, you know, interrupting you or whatever.
You're very wrong. I don't live
well. Well, you have neighbors. You've got your neighbors in your apartment, I'm sure.
You're assuming I live in an apartment.
Well, I did assume that. That is entirely true.
I don't live in an apartment. I live in a house.
Oh, good for you. Okay, yeah. My bad.
You've
never invited me over. No, dude, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Go on.
You never invited me to your place, too. Ooh.
Fine. Whatever. I guess I gotta fix that.
back to our main topic about equipment.
yep.
So external sounds are hard to combat. You just have to work around it. Like Jeff said, figure out, you know, what time are like the noisiest times that you should not do your recording.
Right.
What else? Computer wise, like we said, you know, you can either have a Windows or a Mac or a Mac.
Yep.
I generally would recommend a laptop because you could, let's say, you know, you found one room that is for some reason noisy that day, but then like, okay, I really need to get this recording done. You could move to another room.
Exactly.
But if you have a laptop, it's easy peasy.
That's true.
But you know, I know some people want a desktop, so they
could be me.
Yeah. I mean, like, this guy's so old, he doesn't have a webcam. That's one of the jokes I...
He's so old, he doesn't have a webcam. Yeah, that's good.
That's one of the jokes I that's one of the things I said to Jeff of a week or two ago. Yeah, you're so old, you know.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Feel the love, baby.
Yeah, but if you have a desktop, you know, you're pretty much stationed in that one location, so...
True.
So I would say get a laptop. I mean... A decent PC laptop. Again, you could do your audio recording on a PC, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, a decent one is like, what, $500, $600?
Depends on what kind of processing speed. If we can get all the tech-savvy stuff, you know, how much, you know, processing speed, how much RAM, how much disk space and whatnot. And, you know, if anything, you're probably looking, if you're going to get a laptop for that kind of thing, you're probably looking between about maybe $500 to $1,000.
Again, yeah. Between that range,
and you want a decent quality machine too. You don't want to go for the cheapest one possible because it may not process the sound very quickly. It may not do a good job of it.
Yeah, and you don't want to like have one that's so slow your fans are like running so loud. It's like, darn it!
Right. So you know, no, actually, that's a good point because you got vibration and fans that could actually affect the quality of your sound too. So you also have to keep it quiet, or at least be able to manually turn off the fans if that's possible.
Or if possible, place your laptop further distance from your recording area, but still have a way to manage. Like for me, I have a closet that's next to like this. I have this little TV tray dinner.
Okay. I know what you're talking about.
That I put my laptop on so I could control it immediately and then just hop on and record without really hearing any loud fans or anything like that. So just find ways to place it to a point where like your mic can catch the sound from your laptop.
Right. And again, it's a matter of just determining what your sound ceiling is with whatever equipment that you have.
Exactly.
That's the trickier part. Yeah. You know, so, I mean, like in my case, I've got like this Alienware number that I use because I'm a gamer. So I put a lot of money into that kind of thing. I actually have the ability to turn off the fans on my computer. So that actually reduces the noise considerably for that sort of thing. So it, again, you know, if you get the more expensive laptop, then theoretically the fan shouldn't be running as hard or as hot when you're using it, you know, but again, it's, you know, I don't have any particular recommendations of what kind of computer to get. I mean, that's a personal taste thing.
That's a personal taste. Definitely look around, shop around, find the best deals. If it's too cheap, then it's too good to be true.
Yeah, definitely. Don't be afraid to put a little money into your equipment as a whole.
If you can,
and there's that. But understand that getting started, if you want to put out quality sound and really take this career sort of seriously, then you're going to have to put some money into it. It's like any startup business. You need to invest a lot of time and money, and I won't say a lot of money, but it's, you know, be smart with your money. You are going to have to put money into it, a fair amount, I would argue, in order to ensure quality sound and to get your money back from the work that you do.
Exactly.
And that's not even including the classes and the drive time and all that other stuff. It's just a matter of, you know, the microphone, the equipment you're going to be using, if you're going to go XLR or just USB, a modest laptop like Simon has suggested, which is not a bad idea if you need to go to a quieter room where the acoustics are not so
or big. If you travel a lot.
Or if you travel. There's that too, if you want to record on the road, yeah.
If you travel a lot, a laptop is I would prefer a laptop over, I mean, technically you could, nowadays you could also record on a tablet, but, you know, I mean, just... For me,
I can't imagine that being very, very quality in and of itself, but I've not tried it, so I don't know.
Well, I mean, again, like you can plug your microphone into a tablet. It really depends on the mic.
Yeah, that's true.
Depends on the mic. It's not, I mean, the software wise, it's pretty much built for it, but again, it depends what kind of travel mic you have.
Yeah, well, that's true. That is true.
I mean, you could have like a very expensive iPad, but your sound will not sound good if you have a $50 mic.
That is true. As the old saying goes, the quality of your sound is only as good as the cheapest equipment that you have. So if you've got the real expensive stuff, but you got like, you know, $50 speakers, then your sound is only going to be worth $50.
Yeah.
And that's just the way the music goes. And the same goes for microphones. If you get the cheapy microphone, but you got all the other expensive equipment, the microphone is the weakest link. So
exactly. That's
long and short of it.
So computer wise, laptop or desktop, definitely go with the laptop if you know that you're going to travel a lot.
Yeah.
Or there are times that you're going to need to travel, like out for a conference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
having a laptop really helps. Laptop as in not a Chromebook, a laptop, a real laptop. A laptop that could do more than just run Android apps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You definitely, I mean, whatever software you choose to use, whether it's like GoldWave or Audacity or any others that Simon mentioned earlier, you need to be able to install and use that.
Yeah. And as far as I know, you can't do that on a Chromebook.
I would imagine that's true. I don't know enough about Chromebooks, but I've done a little research on them. They do seem very limiting in and of themselves. So
for the time being, yes. And
okay.
So have a laptop. That's pretty much what I could think of in terms of equipment. I mean, just really, everyone should just do research on the equipment because it's going to be based on your budget.
Yep.
So, you know, we can't say there's a definite way to go in terms of equipment.
We've recommended the Blue Yeti as a good starter mic, and I certainly
but there are other brands out there just as good as Blue Yeti.
Right. But mind you, do your homework on that sort of thing. That's a big one. Read, you know, the reviews about it, look up tech journals about it, get an idea as to, you know, from other voice actors too.
Yeah. YouTube reviews.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I did, and that's why I bought the Blue Yeti Pro. It's very it's diverse. It allows to go both USB as well as XLR. It's a very quality microphone. So and frankly, for all the couple of years I've used it, it's been fantastic. I have no complaints with it. So
yeah, and it
works.
Eventually, you know, when you done our training and you got your demo and you want like, hey, I'm ready to play with the big guys.
Yep.
You know, then, you know, look into upping up your microphone.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
And it's not a bad idea. You know, keep the Blue Yeti as your backup just in case.
Yes, certainly true. Certainly true.
I think for me, like, it's weird because I like having backups if possible. So my Blue Yeti is my backup just in case. Worst case scenario, my main studio mic. I think eventually, maybe a couple of years from now, I'll probably get another studio mic as a backup. You know?
Sure, sure. But,
you know, having a backup is good. My laptop. I don't have one laptop. I have two laptops.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that
I already even have one, but that's okay.
Yeah, I mean that's how like maybe I'm a bit paranoid.
Well, I can understand that because obviously if you do a lot of work with one, you want to make sure you have a backup of something if whatever reason the primary one fails. I mean, any tech like you and I, Simon, would certainly, you know, would say, oh yeah, you want to back your stuff up. No one ever does, but you want to back your stuff up. You need a backup in case something fails because, you know, Murphy's Law will always come into play when that sort of thing happens.
Yeah. Oh, that
absolutely need it to work.
Oh, that's a God. Good. That's a good thing to have. Everyone invest a external hard drive, back up all your audio files, your recordings. Mm-hmm. Every time you're finished, back it up.
Yeah, I have a little 64 gig thumb drive I bought a couple of years back. Yeah, I know it's not very big in itself, but it's worked well enough for my purposes that it does the job, and I back up all of my work and auditions to that. So if God forbid my hard drive were to fail, or at least I have that available to me.
Everyone buy a 2 terabyte external hard drive, okay? They're pretty cheap.
I have an external 1 terabyte drive too, but still.
Okay, they're pretty cheap, all right? Just buy an external 2 terabyte hard drive, okay? I mean, use a flash drive if you're on the go, but come on, Jeff. Come on, man.
Hey, if it works, then it's not a bad idea. That's all.
Well, what if that flash drive goes out?
The flash drive isn't going to go out. I'm going to be honest. I've never actually heard of a flash drive going out. I've seen them get bricked. It happens. But, you know, it works well enough for my purposes. So
Okay. Whatever.
That's all I got to say about it.
Whatever.
I don't place it out in the sun or anything like that. I let it sit here on my computer or on my keyboard, and it stays there. It doesn't go anywhere else. I don't let anybody else use it. So.
Oh, I also forgot. Do you need a laptop with a CD burner? Because, you know, sometimes you might have to burn a CD for clients and they mail it. You have to mail it to them. So think about that.
Yeah, that's a pretty old tip because a lot of laptops don't come with CDs anymore. They used to, but now they don't. So that's something to think about.
So if you buy a laptop that doesn't have like a CD or DVD ROM, you know, you could buy a portable one, an external one for easily, like 30 or 50 bucks on Amazon, even probably less.
Probably. Admittedly, I haven't actually looked one up and whatnot. So that's something.
Because I have an external DVD/CD burner on my computer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have it there, but when's the last time I used it? It's been a while.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Yeah.
I mean, the last time I used it was to install TurboTax. that was the last time. So
here's something to think about too, and this just kind of dawned on me while we were talking about it. In lieu of a CD-ROM burner, a portable one, which is, again, is not a bad way to go, you could actually go and get maybe like a batch of flash drives, small capacity flash drives, to put your demos or recordings on as well.
Yes, but it also depends what your client wants too.
Well, so there's that.
You want to be prepared for both. Just have both, basically.
That is entirely true. That is entirely true. But sometimes if you're limited by what you got, you can only go so far. You know, I mean, as an example, I'm like looking at just like prices up on Google right now. They're talking about like all these different flash drives. Some are like 64 gig flash drives. Some are a little smaller. They're going for like 99 cents or $1.65. So just to be really clear, chances are these are not quality flash drives in and of themselves.
Yeah, the 99 cents sounds like it'll blow up the minute you plug it in or something.
But you never know. But the fact of the matter is you could use these. You could buy like a batch of these, use them, record onto them, and then give them to your client with your name on them or something like that. You just write your name on them and say, hey, look, I'll follow up with a better recording. Or email one to you later on or whatever it might be, but here's a demo. I'll send you a link later on or whatever. At least you could follow up with the client, that give him something to listen to initially. Then, you know, at that point he could also say, hey, I like the sound you had here. Let me have you try it this way. So at least then you can create a dialogue between you and your client. So there's a lot of ways you can go about it to be able to get, you know, get yourself out there sound wise with equipment and so forth. So
yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm looking at some external drives, DVD or Blu-ray drive. One from Samsung, it's only $26.99.
Nice.
Yeah, and this pretty much, I think, burned CD. There's even a Blu-ray run, $60. So, I mean, it's pretty affordable nowadays. So if you have a laptop that doesn't have a CD or DVD-ROM drive, consider just buying an external one just in case if your client asks you for a burned copy.
Right. And just understand that you're making an investment. It's not an expense so much, but think about what you are going to use it for. If you are going to travel a lot, you know, like Simon suggested, so you get the laptop, you get the external CD-ROM drive, be ready to burn stuff to go with it too. And then you know that you're going to be giving out a lot of stuff. Hey, that's definitely an investment for you. But if you don't travel and you know you're going to be doing a lot of your work from home like I do, then the laptop might not be an option to use. You could use your current desktop or even your current laptop if you've already got one. You don't need to worry about getting an external burner and so forth. Or it might be something to think about if you do want to send out a demo. I usually send out links if I have that option or whatever. Again, it depends on what direction things go for you as you do it. But you kind of circle it back to equipment. Yeah, it's, you know, you definitely just need to think about what is best for you to purchase.
Yeah,
and absolutely. Remember that it's an investment, not an expense so much.
Correct. That's correct. And worst case scenario, if you need to burn a CD, go ask one of your friends if they have one.
Right. There's that too.
That is the worst case scenario.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And maybe they do. Maybe they will have one.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, let's hope so. Like, if I need to burn something, like Jeff, I'll ask Jeff.
Yeah, I think I could accommodate you. Actually, my desktop does have a CD.
Exactly.
Write things.
Because I know he has a desktop.
Yep. Yes. Yeah. Yes, I do.
Pretty much dating himself.
Hey, now. Let's not talk about that.
Yeah. Let's not talk about that. Yeah, we should talk about that now. Just
No, not now. Later, maybe.
Yeah. So that's pretty much I could think of for equipment.
That's all I've got too.
Mic,
microphone, computer.
Software.
Even touched on
setting up your recording area.
Right, which is actually, I know, is going to be a separate topic for our next podcast after this one. So we'll touch on that a little more. So, or at least go over what we talked about today too. So we got a lot going on here. A lot going on there.
Yeah, a lot going on. So make sure you do your research on equipment. You know, spend wisely, and you know, if possible, don't cheap out.
Yes,
as much.
I agree.
Don't cheap out, because you know the old saying, right?
You get
what you pay for.
Yep.
And the number one thing to never do is start off voice acting with a gaming headset.
Hey, now. I thought it would work. My bad. Sorry. Yes.
Live and learn.
Well, see, again, that's part of the journey. Part of what you write down in the journal, so to say. So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, Jeff. All right.
Yes.
When we're done with this podcast, you go in your journal, but
I will write that out
and write that down while listening to that Doogie Howser theme song.
Nice.
You start blogging, you better start playing that song and write, "I will never use a gaming headset."
Yes, sir. I will do that. Smart kid. Kick your fanny.
Yeah. All right. So that does it for this week's episode of the Voice Actors Journal.
Thank you very much for joining us today, ladies and gentlemen. If you would like to reach us, we can be reached at thevoiceactorsjournal@gmail.com. We welcome any and all feedback and topic ideas. We would love to hear from you. Please do like and subscribe to us, because we're a couple of friendly guys. Really, we're not that bad. We're fun. You like us.
Yeah. I mean, I might sound mean to Jeff, but I'm just really teasing him.
No, actually, he really dislikes me. It's pretty awful.
Well, like I said, you weren't exactly my first choice, of course.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I keep forgetting that. That's right.
Nah, I'm just kidding. You were always the first choice. You were the only choice, actually.
That's also true. I feel special already because I was the only choice. That's true.
You were the only choice because you had a really flexible schedule.
There's that too, yes. Yeah. And the only other voice actor he knows, then whatever.
No.
No, you do know others. That is true. I know others too. We have mutual friends that are, so.
Yeah. Alrighty, guys. All
right. Have a great one, ladies and gentlemen.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Music is provided by MotionArray.com.